Noah and Kate, Chapter 16. The next day, Kate sat at a patio table outside Carlino's, Cedar Lake's most popular lunch spot. Unpretentious and mostly overlooked by the summer crowd, this little diner had been a townie favorite since Kate had first moved here as a girl. A few obvious vacationers dotted the outdoor seating area today, but most of the tables were occupied by locals, who appreciated being able to sit around for hours and mostly complain about the vacationers. Carlino himself still worked the grill, frying up burgers and franks and pretending to be John Belushi from Saturday Night Live, hollering out, "Cheeburger, cheeburger," as he merrily grilled away. The food was good, if artery-clogging, and the relaxed atmosphere was frankly a bit of a relief from the aspirational cafes like Room for Dessert, where Kate felt out of place without a laptop and trendy eyewear. Most of the cafes on the main drag in town would be overrun with the dreaded vacationers, whose dollars were welcomed by Cedar Lake residents, but whose loud, drunken boat parties and overall boisterous abandon were barely tolerated, often with clenched teeth and a forced smile. Sitting here, happily shielded from the sun by a large umbrella, Kate sipped at her glass of swamp water, another throwback from childhood. A splash of everything from the old soda fountain, the resulting mix a strange melange of sugar and artificial flavors all battling for attention. How on earth had she ever drunk these things as a kid? And how had she let Carlino talk her into getting one now?
"So you've been doing your seed business for how long now?"
the man across from her asked. "I've been doing it part-time for about 3 years now," she replied. "But I'm going to try to make a real go of it. I'm restoring a greenhouse, and I'm going to start cultivating bulbs." The man nodded, smiling with his eyes. His name was Evan, and he worked at the local boat dealership. He had messaged Kate from marriageminded.com just that morning, and they'd both been free to meet up. He was friendly, she thought. Easygoing. He was good-looking, too, with a mop of dark hair that suited his pale face. There was just one small thing.
"That's really cool," he said,
glancing down at his phone again. He scrolled for a few seconds, typed something with his thumbs.
"Good for you."
He'd been doing that since they'd sat down. The phone was like a mirror in a budgie cage. He just couldn't stop looking at it, playing with it, typing into it, and smiling to himself. "And what about you?" she said. "Do you sell the boats, or..."
"Yep, I'm the sales guy."
Evan looked up, and it actually startled her.
"But it's cool. I've learned so much about the whole industry. I'm thinking of starting up a rental outfit for the tourists. From what I hear, you can make your whole year just by renting out to the vacationers."
Kate nodded. "I bet. I think this year is the biggest yet, don't you? Everywhere I look, there's another family with zinc oxide on their noses."
Evan laughed. "I know, right? Not to mention the frat boys and their keg parties. The lake is just full of them. I bet the paramedics have their hands full this year."
"Don't think about Noah," Kate warned herself. "Just don't." "Have you lived here all your life?" Kate asked, moving swiftly on from the subject of paramedics and their hands. Evan shook his head and laughed. He looked down again, captivated anew by the toy in his hand.
"No, I guess..."
He trailed off, leaving Kate waiting in uncomfortable suspense for the rest of the sentence. Finally, he continued.
"I guess I shouldn't talk like a townie when I'm new here myself. I moved here last fall, from the city."
"Me too," she said, glancing around. She felt silly, looking at someone who was looking at his phone, but she felt even sillier talking into the air. "From the city, I mean. Although I spent much of my childhood here."
"It's way better here, right?"
Evan asked, looking up again and glancing around himself.
"This is a great town. I just love it. Great place to settle down and raise some kids."
Kate felt a stab of something in her belly, and for a brief, impossibly stupid moment, she thought she might cry. She'd almost started to believe she was a freak for thinking the things he'd just said. Hearing those words from him, watching him look around in appraisal and liking what he saw. She struggled not to wish it was Noah sitting across from her right now. It wasn't fair, and she knew it, but somewhere in her heart she still ached for it, and couldn't help imagining, just for a second, that Noah was leaning forward, winking at her suggestively,
as if to say, in fact, let's get started on those kids right now. What do you say? She shook the thought away quickly, though. If this were a movie, Noah's smiling face across from her would dissolve slowly into Evan again, and there'd probably be some sort of jolt back to a far less dreamy reality. Can I? Evan asked, sitting forward as if he'd just noticed she was there. You can say no, but I'd love to get a picture with you. You're so pretty, and it's such a gorgeous day. I'd like a souvenir, if you don't mind.
Sure, Kate said, feeling a blush rising up her neck.
The typical thoughts flooded her mind. Does my hair look okay? Do I have a zit on my nose? Have I spilled swamp water down my shirt? But before she could worry herself into saying she'd changed her mind, he was up out of his chair and beside her, holding out his phone at arm's length, his other arm resting comfortably around her shoulder. It felt a little odd to have this strange guy's arm around her, his face so close to hers. He smelled of cologne, but not in a bad way. She found herself rather liking the closeness, and smiled into the forward-facing camera as the shutter clicked.
"Oh, that's perfect," he said,
straightening up and gazing down at the screen.
"Gosh, you're pretty. Thanks so much, Kate."
"My pleasure," she said. Her face was actually burning now. She had to go splash water on her face, if for no other reason than to prevent spontaneous combustion. "Would you excuse me a moment? I'll be right back."
"No problem," he said,
settling back into his chair and scrolling through his phone. She moved past him and weaved her way through the other tables and into the cool darkness of the diner, waving at Carlino as she passed. He was serving a plate of fries big enough to feed a baseball team to a gangly teenage boy and chortling,
"I don't know where you put it all, Sam."
She locked herself into the tiny bathroom and surveyed herself in the mirror. Her heart sank, just as she thought. Tomato red. She ran the water and splashed it on her face, enjoying the cold sting. She patted the water into her face, and when she rose up again, she still looked like a tomato, but maybe a little less ripe. She struggled with her swirling thoughts, trying to herd them into order with about as much success as she'd have herding cats, as the saying went. She liked this guy. She couldn't deny it to herself. Or rather, she wanted to like him. He was easygoing, he seemed pleasant enough, and he wanted to settle down here, in this town she loved. Maybe the phone thing was just nervousness. Or maybe he truly didn't realize it was rude to neglect a real person in front of him in favor of his phone. No one was perfect, right? Maybe all she'd have to do is politely ask him to put the phone away, and he'd snap out of it, apologizing profusely and telling her he was waiting for updates on the birth of a new niece or nephew or something. Because when he'd said she was pretty. She closed her eyes and put her hands over them, willing herself not to let this thought run wild. She wasn't this vain, was she? This desperate? Was she so eager to find someone that she'd fall for the first guy who said she was pretty? She'd been there before. She'd heard this before. A lot of guys had called her pretty, and with the exception of Josh R.'s assessment that she was suitably plain, she hadn't lacked for compliments on her looks. Only Noah had ever called her beautiful. And her heart throbbed insistently when she thought about this, as if it was knocking on her ribcage for attention. But she wasn't so desperate for praise that she'd put up with anything just to hear it. And yet here she was, ridiculously flattered, flushed with happiness, letting herself fling her imagination forward into the realm of breathless possibilities. Maybe, just maybe, this marriage site might work out for her after all. Maybe Josh R. had been like the first pancake you made, the one for the pan, as her mom used to say, the one that just didn't turn out. Don't get ahead of yourself. She opened her eyes and addressed her reflection. You don't even know this guy yet. Don't pick out the China pattern just yet. She patted her face with cool water again, pleased to see that now she was more of a tulip pink than tomato red. She smoothed down her wayward curls and adjusted her summer dress until the mirror reflected someone who looked a little more sure of herself and went back outside. Just as she neared the table, she got trapped into an awkward confusion of chairs and people as a large family made ready to leave.
Elbows and beach bags swung wildly, and kids hopped around like baby goats, and Kate decided it was best to just stand still and take up as little space as possible until the chaos subsided. And in doing so, she could clearly hear Evan talking jovially into his phone.
"Check my Facebook, you'll see her,"
he was saying.
"I think you'd like her."
Kate felt her stomach lurch a little. Her spidey sense started to tingle, crawling up her spine on 8 ticklish little legs. It wasn't an entirely bad sensation, but it wasn't entirely good either.
"I know," he said. "She looks a bit like you. Weird, huh?" "Yes, that's a compliment, you goof."
Oh, great. Her heart sank. Her little admonition to herself in the bathroom had been more prescient than she'd thought. She didn't know who he was talking to, but she knew it wasn't a good sign. At least she'd found out before her daydreams had carried her too far away into fantasy land. And in a small, secret part of herself, she was actually relieved. She felt a kind of tension releasing, as if she'd been on high alert for the past half hour and could now just relax. Maybe she'd just been more nervous than she'd thought. Whatever it was, she welcomed the sensation. The boisterous family moved on, and Kate was able to walk around behind Evan and take her seat in front of him. At least he had the decency to look flustered, she thought charitably.
"I'm sorry, just give me 1 second, he said, holding up a finger.
She felt her eyebrows rise, all on their own, as if they, too, were bemused and curious about what was going to happen next.
"I should go," he said jovially into the phone. "Text me, though. Tell me about Florida. I want to hear how it's going."
"Sister, maybe?" Kate thought, playing the game of name that rude person interrupting your date. The goof part reminded her of Paige's playfulness with Noah. If he was just talking to his sister, there might be some hope yet. He rang off and looked down at his phone fondly. It took a moment for him to resurface, like he was just coming around from anesthesia and didn't know where he was.
"Sorry," he said again. "That's just my friend, Alicia."
Good old spidey sense. It never let her down. She didn't want to ask who Alicia was, because even forming the simple sentence in her mind made her feel like a jealous wife. But she felt just as awkward sitting there, nodding, as though she knew who he was talking about.
"We're just friends," he added, putting his phone down on the table. "We've been good friends for a while now. She's great. You love her."
Kate smiled, but it was a bit of a wobbly smile. "She sounds nice." What else could she say?
"Yeah, she's married," he said,
with an unmistakable wistfulness in his voice. He laughed.
"We've often said, in another life, right? If things were different, if we'd met 10 years ago instead of last year."
Kate just looked at him.
He waved it away. "But it's cool. She's my bud. I'm just happy she's in my life. You ever meet someone like that? Someone you click with immediately, but the timing's just wrong?"
Had she ever met anyone like that? She took a sip of her swamp water.
"Anyway, she's in Florida with her husband and kids right now. But she says hi."
"To me?" Kate asked, genuinely surprised.
"Yeah, I told her about you. She says..." "Oh, wait."
His phone vibrated twice, and he sat forward to read the screen. A grin spread across his face, and he laughed.
"She's so great. She's so protective of me. She said to tell you she knows karate, and she'll use it on you if you don't treat me right."
He glowed, his pale skin growing pink.
"God, I love her. She's so great."
She sat back and regarded him, wondering if she should just leave. She honestly didn't know how to feel about this situation. Karate threats aside, was she being unreasonable, wanting his full attention? Did she have any right to it, having just met him half an hour ago? She didn't want to seem jealous or controlling. She couldn't imagine how it would appear any other way. Maybe she was just hopelessly old-fashioned. Maybe the world had changed, and people now treated the phone as if it were a welcome third person in any conversation. She decided to find out. She reached down into her purse and withdrew her own phone, and typed out a quick text to Noah. "Hey, Kincaid, I'm on a date at Carlino's.
Guess what the deal is with this one?
She waited, and within 30 seconds his reply came back.
He's a polygamist, looking for his next sister wife.
She laughed to herself and responded,
No, but that's a good one. This one's phoning and texting a married woman who friend-zoned him.
She saw the little dots flashing, indicating he was typing a reply, and she felt oddly comforted, knowing he was pecking out a response to her, wherever he was.
And she's responding to him?
Kate hesitated, but typed back. She said she knows karate and will hurt me if I don't treat him right. His reply came back right away.
Why are you matching up with these dickwads?
She laughed again and typed her answer.
Dickwad magnet, I guess.
Present company excluded, of course. She waited for Noah's answer, somehow enjoying the little rolling dots.
I'm off in a few minutes. You want me to come over there?
She bit her lip. Yes, she very much wanted to see Noah. A day didn't go by that she didn't want to see Noah. But if talking on the phone to your bestie was rude, asking him to actually join you on your date was downright insulting. Evan barked out a laugh at something on his phone, so loudly that other diners jumped. Kate felt all eyes on their table, and the flush of embarrassment made her look down and type quickly. Yes, God, please. Please come rescue me. Just promise me you won't hurt him. I wouldn't want to have to testify at your trial.
The reply was immediate. Hey, don't sweat it. I know 10 ways to kill him and make it look like an accountant.
Asterisk. Accident. She laughed and put her hand to her mouth.
Duck autocorrect, man. Jesus, I gotta find a way to turn that off. Anyway, I'll be there in 5.
She put her phone back and clasped her hands in front of her on the table, looking at Evan with a curious expression. He put his phone down and looked up at her, glowing.
Sorry, he said, sitting forward and sobering a bit. Where were we?
Can't quite remember, to be honest.
I'm sorry, he said, smiling bashfully with an expression that told her he really wasn't. Alicia tells me all the time I have the attention span of a goldfish. I can't help it. I get easily distracted.
So I see, she said, but smiled faintly.
Look, I really wanted to meet you, he said earnestly, and I'm really glad I did. You're really nice. I enjoy talking to you. So please, don't be jealous.
And there it was, she thought. He wasn't doing anything wrong. She was just jealous.
I'm not jealous, she said mildly. We only just met.
I just think, good, I hope not, because Alicia is a very important part of my life and always will be. That's never, ever going to change.
Never, ever? She heard herself mocking him. It was terrible of her, but she couldn't help it.
Nope, he shook his head, oblivious to her sarcasm. Not in a million years.
Kate tilted her head to the side. I'm just curious, how did you guys meet?
She has a radio show, he said, warming to the subject. It's all about politics, and I'm pretty into politics. I might even run for office one day, who knows? Anyway, I used to call in and talk to her all the time. She said I was very insightful and well-informed.
Kate frowned. So, have you actually met her? Or do you just talk to her on the radio?
Oh, we haven't met in person. She lives on the other side of the country, but we talk every day. And not just on her show, either, as you see.
He gestured to his phone, and Kate wished she had laid money on his getting sucked back into it. He focused on something on the screen and smiled, and held up one finger again.
Sorry, just give me 1 second.
Kate sat back and folded her arms across her chest, watching him laugh to himself as he texted Alicia. Well, now this was weird, she thought. His very best friend in the whole wide world was someone he'd never met, and talking to her was more important than paying attention to his date. Okay, she wasn't old-fashioned. She just knew rudeness when she saw it. Movement caught her eye, and there he was, her own knight in shining t-shirt, approaching the outdoor seating area with that long-legged, comfortable stride of his, jeans just loose enough around his hips to look casual, work boots clunky but somehow perfectly suited to his large frame. He searched the crowded tables for her, and a jolt of happiness shot through her. He's looking for me, she thought giddily. He's searching through these faces for mine. When his eyes met hers, his face broke into a grin that almost stopped her heart. He moved towards the table, waving to Carlino, who waved back at him from the window. Several diners greeted Noah, faces shiny and bright, holding up hands to their foreheads to shield their eyes from the sun as they looked up at him. He stopped to tickle the chin of a gurgling baby, and Kate imagined that maybe he'd delivered the little tyke, or saved her from choking, or performed some other heroic deed that would forever enshrine Noah in the hearts of her parents. It was fantasy, fluff, and she knew it, but where was the harm? Noah was a good man, and it was fun to imagine him as the town hero, beloved by all. He came up behind Evan, who was still busy texting, and gestured to him with exaggerated charades, rolling his eyes and sticking his tongue out like he was about to barf. Kate laughed in spite of herself. "Katie," Noah said, probably a little too camp. "Oh my God, what are you doing here?" "Hi, Noah," she said, trying not to smile too wide, or burst out laughing. As he brushed past Evan to take a seat beside Kate, Evan looked up from his phone and half smiled, half frowned, looking not quite sure what was going on, but not yet sure it was something important enough to drag him away from his phone. "Isn't that just like us? Always on the same wavelength," he said, throwing his arm around her and squeezing. He planted a smooch on her cheek for good measure. "You know it," she said, scrunching up her nose. She almost Eskimo kissed him with her nose, but decided it was probably too over the top, even for Noah. She turned brightly towards Evan. "Evan, this is my best friend, Noah. Noah, this is Evan."
"Good to meet you."
Evan extended his hand, a smile on his face, but a furrow in his brow.
"Likewise."
Noah grabbed Evan's hand firmly and shook. It was too firm a grip and too forceful a shake, and Evan's whole body wobbled a bit, his smile flickering.
"So, how's it going, you two?"
Noah asked, resting his crossed arms on the table.
"She's a peach, isn't she, Ev?"
"Yeah, definitely."
Evan laughed uncomfortably. He put his phone down, picked it up again, and then put it back down, like he wasn't sure what to do with his hands without a phone in them.
"It's going great," Kate enthused. "It's so cool. He was just telling me about his dear friend, Alicia. Seems like we have a bit of a kindred spirit here. Someone who understands what it's like to have a friendship like ours."
"That's awesome, man," Noah said, nodding as he smiled at Evan. "Really, that's very cool. A lot of guys have been way too afraid to date Katie with me hanging around, looking out for her."
"I bet,"
Evan said. Was it her imagination, or was Evan looking a little paler now? Noah was an imposing presence, leaning forward with his large biceps on display. Being so much taller than both she and Evan, he easily dominated the table just by sitting there.
"But you're cool, you get it,"
Noah said amiably, gesturing at Evan with his chin. "Very progressive of you. Very cool."
"Thanks,"
said Evan, his eyes flicking uncertainly over to Kate's. "Evan's friend has a radio talk show," Kate supplied, enjoying this way, way too much. "He was just telling me about it. It sounds really cool. He met her on the show, actually. He was one of her callers."
"Awesome," said Noah, a little too much surfer dude in his voice. "That's so funny, too. That's sort of how we met, right, Kmart?"
Kate snorted and tried not to let an outright guffaw escape.
"Kmart?"
"Yeah," she said, pursing her lips against a laugh. "Kind of."
"Did you tell him the story?"
Noah's eyebrows shot up comically as he looked from her face to Evan's.
"No? Oh, you'll like this, Ev. I was shopping at Kmart in the city one time, you know, just checking out the hunting knives and the guns. You know, just a typical day. And I heard this pretty voice come over the PA system. I didn't pay much attention, you know, I was trying to decide which rifle to add to the lineup. But then she started making these funny announcements, like cracking jokes and stuff. It was hilarious. I knew it couldn't be an employee. It had to be someone just goofing off. So I decided to play along. I went and found a PA thing myself, and I responded to her, which, of course, led to a chase. Store security running around trying to find both of us," Kate cut in, rolling her eyes for effect. "Those guys have zero sense of humor."
"Yeah, and we just kept going from station to station. I hid in the tampon aisle because I knew they'd never look for me there, and you..."
He looked at her, mischief sparkling in his eyes, even though his face revealed nothing. I think you were in automotive when they finally cornered you.
Yeah, I had nowhere to go. I was caught between the motor oil and the spark plugs, she said. But remember what I was able to say over the PA just before they caught me?
No, Luke, it's a trap,
Noah trumpeted, and they both laughed.
When they finally turned back to Evan, he was staring at them. His mouth was slightly parted, his eyes wide.
So anyway, Noah cleared his throat. I waited outside for her, and we've been best buds ever since.
Wow, Evan finally said. Nothing in his tone suggested wow.
Yeah, it was the best day of my life, Noah said grandly, sitting back and stretching out his arms. I knew she was my soulmate right then and there.
Kate felt her smile falter a little, the butterflies in her stomach waking up en masse at his words. Even though she knew he was joking and just saying these things for effect, the words themselves still hit her right in her softest places.
So, Evan asked, a faint smile blinking into existence and then disappearing. Can I ask, why you two aren't, you know?
Oh, I would be. In a heartbeat, Noah said earnestly.
Are you kidding me? She's amazing. Just look at her. God, she's sexy. But no, the timing was never right, and so we've settled for just being best friends.
Noah angled his head to look at her and winked. He looked back at Evan and leaned close to him, cupping his hand to stage whisper.
But between you and me, I'd jump at the chance. You know what I mean?
Kate slapped his arm playfully.
Oh, stop you. You're going to make Evan uncomfortable.
She turned to look at Evan.
I'm sorry, he gets so carried away sometimes. Guilty as charged.
Noah held up his hands and sat back. Evan cleared his throat and adjusted his position. He drummed his thumb on the table, looking between Noah and Kate.
Well, I have to say, it seems like I'm a bit of a third wheel here, Kate, he said,
his tone wavering between irritation and politeness.
What?
Kate said, blinking.
Oh, come on. Don't be jealous. You, of all people, should understand.
Noah and I have a very special friendship.
And always will,
Noah nodded. But it doesn't mean you have to be jealous.
I'm not jealous, Evan protested, putting his hands up. Nope, not jealous. Just not sure about...
He waved his hand vaguely at the two of them.
Whatever this is with you guys. I'm sorry, really. Noah said. Maybe I should leave. I shouldn't have crashed your date like this. It's really rude of me. Sorry, Kmart.
Don't be silly, Kate said, putting her hand on his arm. Evan understands. We're just friends, right, Evan? Evan looked like he was much more inclined to agree with Noah.
Sure, of course. Well, put her there, man.
Noah held out his hand again for Evan to shake. Evan took it cautiously, and Noah pumped his hand hard enough to shake loose some teeth.
You have my respect, man. And my envy, let me tell you. You're a lucky, lucky man. Of course it goes without saying.
He laughed and then sobered. If you hurt her in any way, I'll make your life a living fucking hell.
I'm gonna get going, Evan said, standing up abruptly.
He grabbed his phone and his keys and scowled at Noah.
It was nice meeting you, Kate. Good luck with, everything.
They both watched him weave his way through the tables, bumping into people and stepping on toes because he was, naturally, too busy texting to watch where he was going. When he disappeared from view, Kate folded her arms on the table in front of her, buried her head, and laughed.
Aw, come on, Malone. He's a total dickhead. He's not worth it.
Noah soothed, rubbing her back. She lifted her head.
I'm not crying, you goof. I'm laughing.
Kmart? Where the hell did you come up with that? Noah's grin effused his face with childish delight.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh my god, I loved it. I nearly spewed my swamp water all over him.
Swamp water? Cool,
Noah said, grabbing her glass and taking a healthy swig.
Ah, Carlino's on fire today. Just the right ratio of Orange Crush to Mountain Dew in this one.
Kate watched him finish off her drink, remembering what Josh R. had said about wanting someone who'd steal his donut off his plate without even asking. She felt a pang of tenderness towards Noah, and that twinge of regret she almost always felt when she was around him. But
But the day was fine, the sun was shining, and Noah had made her laugh more than anyone had in years.
"Thank you for this," she said, and laughed when he put down the cup and burped with adolescent pride. At least he had the sense to excuse himself and look a little bashful.
"Anytime, Katie May," he said, his eyes bright and blue in the sunshine. "I'm happy to scare off dickwads anytime you want."
There was so much she could have said at that moment, so much she wanted to say. And by the way he was looking at her, it seemed like he was waiting for her to say it, whatever it was, for however long it took. Her heart thudded in her chest, and for a breathless moment she wasn't sure what might come out of her mouth next, what secret hopes or raw feelings or quiet fears she might let loose. She had his full attention, in stark contrast to the man who'd just left, and it made her feel ridiculously special and important, and like the world might as well just disappear around them for all it mattered right now. She wanted to reach over and kiss him, hold his jaw and feel his sun-warmed skin, hear that low murmur of pleasure thrum in his chest. She wanted to feel the contours of his strong body and feel his heart beating, strong and sure, beneath her hand. She wanted to take him back home and spend the rest of the day in bed. But the trouble was, she wanted so much more. She didn't just want him for an afternoon. She wanted him forever. And forever was the one thing he didn't have to give. In that moment, she actually envied him. Sex was simple for him. Just a bit of fun when he felt like it. Nothing important, nothing life-changing. He could be lighthearted and happy about it, and just enjoy the pleasure. He could treat his body and hers like a playground, and then happily wing off to a new life in Central America, where doubtless he'd find a whole slew of new women to romp with. She'd never felt like that, not even before NMFA became her personal mantra. The closest she'd ever come to feeling that kind of carefree, uncomplicated delight was, unsurprisingly, with him. "I should go. I have an appointment with a nursery in the city this afternoon," she said, looking down so he couldn't see the lie. "But thank you again. I really appreciate it." When she looked up, he was smiling at her, gently, sweetly. "You want some company?" God, did she. She would have given anything to spend more time with him, even if it was just to feel him in the car next to her, enjoying the warm wind flowing through the open windows, the radio blasting out a summer tune. Maybe a couple of swamp waters to go. That was the trouble with lying, she thought miserably. She'd made up something to get out of seeing him, and now she wished more than anything that it were true. "No, it's okay. You just got off shift, didn't you? Don't you need your sleep?" He leaned closer and cupped her chin, brushing his thumb across her bottom lip. "I can sleep later. If you want me to come along, just say the word." She swallowed and looked away, gently shaking loose his hand. "Like I said, busy afternoon. Maybe another time."
"Anything you want, Kmart."
She looked over at him and laughed. On impulse, she reached over and kissed him, quickly, not wanting to draw too much attention. His lips lingered on hers, as if urging her to kiss him more deeply, but she pulled away and booped his nose playfully. They left Carlino's, ambling casually to her car, chatting comfortably about nothing, both of them aware of the second, silent conversation beneath their words. Every time she caught his eyes, she could see the question in them, the invitation, the openness to anything she wanted to ask of him. When they got to her car, the urge to tell him to jump in was almost more than she could resist, but with a tremendous effort, and not without the gnawing ache of regret, she managed to smile and wave and drive away without him.